Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. When families encounter difficult times, challenging times, particularly when moms face challenging times, circumstances that that call for the need, the help of others, what can they do? Sometimes they may feel like they're facing just unbelievable circumstances and not sure what to do. Are there organizations that help that can help them connect with another family to provide the support and care, particularly for children, that is needed during those times? Today in studio with us to answer that question, Madison Woody. She's a Safe Families for Children coordinator with Bethany Christian Services. Madison, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Glad to have you in studio this morning. I'm excited to learn more about Bethany Christian Services. I am somewhat familiar with the organization and the services that you offer, but I want to learn more and I want our listeners to learn more as well. Tell me a little bit about the organization, Bethany Christian Services, and the mission of the organization.
Yeah, so Bethany is an international organization. Our headquarters is in Michigan. Our mission statement is to demonstrate the love and compassion of Jesus Christ by protecting and enhancing the lives of children and families through quality social services. So here in St. Louis, we have adoption programs, we have international adoption, we have counseling, and we also have a program that I run called Safe Families for Children, which is what I'm going to talk about today.
Why is this your life's work? Why are you involved with Bethany Christian Services? I know you've served in other organizations, similar organizations in the past as well. Why is this something that, well, that you're involved in?
Yeah, I just, going through college and going through my career, I was called to social justice and social work because I want to provide support to families that really need it, families that don't have the safety net that I have had in my life. And I also, another aspect is I love seeing families and helping them be able to serve. As Christians, we have these hearts for service that we obviously need to have, that Jesus tells us to do, but sometimes we don't know how to get out there and do that. And so giving families that want to serve kids an opportunity to be educated and know how we do it in St. Louis and know what different cultures are like in our area and how they can serve kids in poverty and get out of their comfort zone. That's one of my favorite things about the work I do with Safe Families.
So providing a structure, an organized way to help families find ways to serve, particularly finding a unique way to serve if they have a desire to serve.
Yes.
So what is unique about the way that Bethany Christian Services serves families, particularly this Safe Families for Children program? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so what Safe Families for Children is, it's, I consider, a preventative foster care. So it's similar to foster care in the way that we have host families who are trained in background checks and they take kids into their homes on a temporary basis until a family is stable enough to get them back. But it's different from foster care because we're not removing these kids because there's child abuse or neglect or things going on like that. The moms are actually reaching out to us and saying, I don't have the support that I need. My kids have nowhere to stay. I've been evicted. I'm homeless. I don't know what to do. Can you help? And so these families are taking in these kids out of compassion. They're all volunteers, and they're just going to host them and support this family until the placing family can get back on their feet and provide again.
So this is a voluntary basis,
yes.
A service that's provided, that's requested on a voluntary basis.
Yes.
And so someone, a mom or a family, recognizes that they're not able to provide everything that their children need. They recognize that they need some help. They reach out and say, I need some help providing a safe home for my children. Can you help?
Absolutely. Yep.
And then, so then Bethany helps connect with a family that is equipped and desires to do that, to provide a safe and loving home for children who need it.
Yes.
How do you help families? How do you help families identify to be these safe families and equip them for that?
Yeah. So there is the process of becoming a host family. You have to be background checked. There's a required training. There's required references and applications. So it's not as intensive as being a foster care family, but still we want to make sure we're having good people coming and taking these kids. Since it is voluntary, there is no no payment. It's just you get the support of our staff. When a child's placed in your home, I come out and visit once a week to make sure things are going well and provide support. We also highly encourage families that want to do this to have their own safety net, have their own family and friends who can provide meals and donations of clothes and things like that, so they're not feeling like they're doing this all on their own as well.
So families who feel like they have a strong network of support are really key for this.
Yes.
What's the response of families who have stepped up to be safe families for children? What's the response of those who've stepped up to serve in this way? What have they shared with you about their experience doing this?
They are some of my favorite people. One mom in particular, at a home visit I did a couple weeks ago, one thing that stuck out to me that she said is that she loves being the volunteer in this way because she knows that as Christians, we're called to serve and we're called to be messy. We're called to reach those who are broken and don't know Christ. And as a mom that stays home with her kids in the county, there's not much opportunity to be messy. You can't really like go to Africa with your family and all that stuff that we do mission work. But doing Safe Families gives her the opportunity to serve kids who really, really need it and share the love of Christ to families who may have never heard that before, who are living in poverty. And she doesn't have to go anywhere. The kids come to her. Other families, they just having their eyes opened to out of their comfort zone and not in the bubble we sometimes live in as middle-class Christians, and being able to see poverty and other situations that we can share God's love with.
Tell me about the families who are served by this, and perhaps has Safe Families prevented some even worst-case scenarios by providing that support to them?
Yes. So one of my go-to stories is a mom we worked with last year. She called us in October, and she had just moved to St. Louis about a month ago. She was living in a homeless shelter downtown, and she was fleeing domestic violence. And she had her two boys in tow. And while she was at the shelter, she had to find a job, but she had nowhere for the kids to go while she worked. So we were able to find host families for her. First, we were only going to do 2 weeks of hosting to get her daycare set up, but that turned into 3 months. And eventually, she was able to find housing, get daycare, get a second job, and her boys were able to come back home to a safe and stable environment where if Safe Families wouldn't have been in her life, she might still be in domestic violence or be at the homeless shelter with nowhere for her kids to go.
What's the relationship between the host family and the mom or the parents who express a need? Is there any relationship between? Obviously, there's a direct relationship between the host family and the children. Is there any relationship between the host family and the mom or the family that's in need?
Absolutely, that is one of our main goals of Safe Families, to build those connections and build that support. The people that are going to connect the most are going to be the host mom and the biological mom. They're both caring for this child. Mm-hmm. And so they have that connection, and our goal is for them to not only be a service provider, but to become friends and stay connected even after the child goes home. So they can learn from each other. They talk on the phone almost every single day. Once a child's placed, we have you exchange phone numbers to send updates and things like that. And then we also encourage visits so they can see each other. So that's probably the biggest connection that's made. Part of my job is also to work with the families that use the program, the biological parents. And I see so often, no matter how hard I try, I can go and have lunch with these moms once a week and talk to them. I'm never going to build as strong a connection with them as the host mom does, because they have that middle ground that they're caring for the child.
For some, I imagine that to be a host mom or host parent, some might be a little intimidated by that. But at the same time, some might find that very Very intriguing that that they really want to connect with the biological mom. How has that worked out for the host moms in the past? What are some of the responses they've shared about building a relationship with the biological mom?
Yeah, it can definitely be really intimidating. A lot of the moms that we serve are completely different than our host families. Our host families usually have support. They have they're middle class. They've had money all their lives. Most of our moms have been in generational poverty. So there is a big disconnect. You have to build that gap. But if our host moms are some of the most compassionate people that I know that are able to love these biological mamas unconditionally, and share God's love with them. And no matter how many times they may mess up or we may mess up, still being able to support each other and share that love is our biggest aspect.
Tell me about the education or the training for host families.
Yes, yeah, so there is required training, and that we have online or in person. Our next in-person training is actually coming this Thursday. We usually have about once a month. So that's the required training. That's what our national office tells us we have to do. We also have training that's not mandated but highly encouraged. There's a few books to read. There's a parenting class called Trust-Based Relational Intervention. There's an all-day class where we talk about how to parent kids that have come from trauma. And that's our highly, highly encouraged training. So the mandated training is pretty small, but then the encouraged training is much larger. And our families that go through those are ones that are our best servers and the ones I know I can depend on to care for these kids well.
Do you have host families that already have children in their home, whether they're their own children or other families, other children that have been welcomed in their home through a foster program or something similar to that?
Yes, the majority of our families have their own kids. I would say most of them, the kids are somewhere between the age of like 6 and middle school. We do have some empty nesters. We have some single moms who don't have their own kids. We have a couple that are foster parents as well. But it's most of them have kids, but we do have a wide spectrum of families.
And what's the typical, is there a typical time frame that a host family might serve a child or a group of children?
Yes. Yeah, so we have an abundance of hosting needs. For example, last year we were able to serve 164 kids in St. Louis. But I had to say no to 344. So right now we're only able to serve about 25% of the calls that we get. So there's always a need. We always need more host families. And so once you become a host family, I could have a kid in your house the next day if you, that was something you wanted to do. And length of time, it depends on the situation. It can be a couple weeks or it can be a couple months. And that is up to you. Host families are all volunteers. And so I'm not going to force anyone to take a child for longer than they feel comfortable to. And people usually let me know before they become a host family what ages and what time limits that they're okay with. Hmm.
So the training, is that an ongoing thing? Because you mentioned that you could become a host family within a day. So I gather that the training, the education is something that's ongoing.
Yes. So the required training is like a one-time thing. If you do it through our office, it's about 2.5 hours in person. And then we send you home with another PowerPoint to look at. But then training ongoing, a host family that's approved, I'm not going to give them a child that has a lot of chronic needs or has a lot of trauma background. They're going to get more of a short-term kind of trial run. And then as they do more training and get more involved, we'll look at the more extensive needs.
So it sounds like you work at connecting, matching up the needs of the children with the gifts, the strengths of the host family as well.
Yes, that's one of my the best parts of my job, that I know all of our host families very well. I consider them friends and I text them to give them updates. And so if I have a need that a mom calls, I know who I'm going to call to see who can ask for that child. If no one comes to mind, I'll send that an email to our families and see who's available. But usually I'm pretty comfortable with who's going to take which kids.
What are the most common questions you get from potential host families, and how can we answer those today?
Common questions are always the scary ones. Liability is one, mm-hmm. insurance, things like that. So our kids, most of them have Medicaid. And so they do have insurance, and host families are not required to pay medical expenses. Those are all, if the child is injured, the mom has to pay for those. There is no transfer of custody. There is no guardianship. We have a form called the power of attorney form, which the mom signs and gives the host family permission to care for the child. But if the host family has to give the child back early, there's no penalty for that. It's not mm-hmm. a contract we can't change. And also a liability for our organization. So one of the things that we do at Bethany is if there were to be a major accident that happened, which I've been with Bethany for a little over a year now and nothing has ever happened for us to use this, but we do have insurance and coverage through Bethany. It protects our host families.
So I guess perhaps, you know, if something happens, a child gets sick or is in an accident and needs to go to a hospital, then the documentation that you have helps allow that, you know, the services to be provided.
Yes. So if a child has a scheduled doctor's appointment, we'll ask the biological parents to take them to that because we still want them to be involved and still mm-hmm. want them to care for their kids. If they have, they fall down and they scrape their knee really bad, the host family can take them to urgent care and they'll just give me a call and let me know what they're doing. But they'll have the hosting agreement with the power of attorney that gives them permission to do that.
I see. So then the child's Medicaid and things like that would help provide
yes.
for that child's needs. How do we become a host family? What are the steps you need to take, and how do we get there? You said we could do it in a day.
You can do training in a day, not uh-huh. the whole thing. But so the first step is to call our intake line. That phone number is 314-452-6547, and you can talk to probably me or one of our other staff members that has the phone to ask any questions you have. I can send emails about the program. The first step is to fill an application, and after the application is filled out, you can come to our information meetings or our trainings, and then the process of becoming a host family. After that, we do background checks and get 3 references and do a home assessment where I come out to your home to make sure it's safe. Typical things like your fire alarms work and there's no poisonous chemicals in reach of kids. And then once that's done, you are approved host family.
Oh, man. I had some great questions, but I was really trying to listen to what you were sharing, too. I had another question. What about the connection between do other host families interact with host families at all? Is there any sort of community among them, I guess I should say?
Yeah, that's what we're really trying to build right now. There are a couple out in St. Charles County is where we see the most community. A lot of the host families out there, they know each other. They mm-hmm. have a Facebook group that they post on and they say, hey guys, I'm getting a 4-year-old girl today. Does anyone have some 4T clothes I can borrow? Can someone send me meals for the week? And so we're trying to build more connection in the other counties that we serve. Recently, I sent out an email with all everyone's contact information to start building those. But it's highly encouraged that our host families know each other so they can support each other through this. Because our host families, they can ask me questions on how to handle situations. I can give them advice, obviously. But knowing that someone else has gone through this too, and knowing that someone else is doing this with you, is encouraging for them.
Are there, it sounds like a lot of the cases are younger children. Are there school age children as well? And how do we work out school arrangements and things like that?
Yes, there are school age kids. A good majority are under the age of 5. And that's for a couple of reasons. A couple of things are most families don't want to serve kids older than their own children. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of that. And also, if a mom has lots of kids, she usually has built-in babysitting. So we do see older kids. And so for school, there are 3 things that we can do for that. The first thing and the most wanted, but the least likely, are if the host family lives close enough to the child's school for them to just take them to and from school. The second thing is, if a child is considered homeless, there's a new law that's out called the McKinney-Vento Act, which requires the school to provide transportation for the child. So even if the child is all the way down in South County and their school is all the way up in North County near Illinois, the school is required to provide transportation if the child's homeless. If a child's not considered homeless and we still need to get them hosted, we may just transfer to the host family school if we know the hosting is going to be a little longer.
So the school arrangements can be worked out based on the situation.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. And one other question before we wrap up here in just a couple of minutes. Thinking about, you know, the family circumstances, I would imagine that that privacy is important, especially for the biological family. How do you address those issues? What are some of the things you learn about that in the training, and how do host families handle that when they're, for example, introducing the children that are staying with them to other families?
Yeah. So most of the time, the host families and friends will know that they're a host family, and this isn't their child. A lot of times, privacy becomes an issue if the host family lives in the same area as the biological parent, because the biological parent may be embarrassed that they're using our services. It's hard to give your kids to someone else.
Or you mentioned earlier that in the case of domestic violence,
yes,
as
yes.
well, they may be escaping that.
Yes. So if feel like someone were to approach you in public and say, oh, who's this kid that you have? We ask your host and they say, oh, it's just my friend's kid, and not explain to like random strangers what they're doing. But they can, obviously, the family and friends. We do have them sign a confidentiality agreement that even with their family and friends, they're not going to share the mom's whole life story with them, because our host families, they will know a lot of private information. We do ask a lot of questions to know what the situation is, what the mom's doing, what the kids are like. And we don't want them just telling the whole world. So they do sign a privacy agreement with that.
And so that I would assume includes things like, you know, social media and things like that. We're not going to be posting
correct
pictures of children on social media.
Correct. A lot of our host families will post pictures, but put a little like sticker smiley face over the kid's face to maintain a confidentiality.
Sure. Confidentiality is, I'm sure, key in those circumstances. You mentioned Bethany is an organization headquartered in Michigan. Are there other cities and states that have the Safe Families program?
Yes, it's actually all across the country right now. I'm not sure exactly which states, but a good majority of them have Safe Families. And also it started in Europe and a country in Africa, I think South Africa. And I think it's going in Canada right now, too. So it's a pretty well-known organization. Safe Families for Children is actually a separate organization from Bethany, and that's based in Chicago. Bethany just runs the program in our location.
In the St. Louis area. Well, very good. So we can find out more about Safe Families for Children around the country, well, around the world, really. I'm sure just a quick search on Google, find more information about that and how you can become a Safe Family. It has been a pleasure learning about Bethany Christian Services and Safe Families for Children here in St. Louis with our guest, Madison Witte, coordinator for Safe Families for Children. Thanks so much for being my guest today, Madison.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.